Our first scripture reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 11th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 18. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living. Let his name be remembered no more." But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the Epistle of James, the 3rd chapter, and we begin reading at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 30. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. When he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." They did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be the last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. A text is based on your epistle lesson for today. In particular, these words. "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." This is our text. As the letter of James continues, it talks about the problem of thinking your prayers aren't being answered and offering a reason as to why. But God does hear our prayers. God does answer our prayers. But one of the problems of human sin is that sometimes when God is giving us exactly what we really want, we don't realize it because we don't think he can give it to us in the way that he does give it to us. You know, let me explain that with a movie reference. How many of you have seen Karate Kid? Man, that's just about everybody. Well, this will be easy. So there's this kid, I believe he was kind of bullied in life and he wanted to learn karate to protect himself. And he knows of some master of the craft in his city. And he goes to him and he begs him to learn karate. And after a while, the man consents and tells him, "Come back the next day." And when he arrives, you all know how this goes, right? I think he puts a paint can in his hand. He says, "Paint." Do you remember how he told him to paint? Up and down. Everybody do this. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. For a few days, as I recall, he has them painting his fence. And then, as last night's group reminded me, there was something else. Was it washing windows? Whoa, waxing the car. Wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. After a while, the kid was kind of getting sick of it. Thought he was being taken advantage of. You know, if he didn't persist, and what a lot of kids probably would do is say, "You're not teaching me anything, quit," and that would have made for a really lousy movie, right? But he sticks with it, although he really does think he's being taken advantage. And then one day, the master of karate reveals to him, he was strengthening him and teaching him, among other things, patience, which was very necessary to his learning. But also those moves were essential elements of his craft, and he didn't realize it. The disciples in the gospel lesson for today. How rude. Jesus tells them he's going to die and also rise again. They forget the last part. They only seem to recall the first part. And what do? They start arguing about who is the greatest. And Jesus takes a little child and puts them in the midst of them and says, "You want to be great? This is how you do it. Become the servant of all. You desire and do not have. So you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. Not because God doesn't want to bless you, but because you're asking for the wrong thing. You're asking for things that aren't actually going to bring you what you want to have. Ultimately, what do we want? We want to be happy and at peace. But the way the sinful nature goes around, goes to try to achieve that, is not through ways and methods that actually bring it about. God knows how to bring joy, and he knows how to bring peace. God is love. But how does he achieve that? Look at the Master. God is glorious. But his greatest glory was in asking his own Son to come into this world, to take on our frail human flesh, to suffer and to die. But he was also going to rise again. But, you know, the disciples couldn't hear that. All they heard was suffer and die. They couldn't see that as a path to glory. Jesus is our Lord, but how does he express that? He comes not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. That's the path to glory. That's the path that God walks. And if you want to be a child of God and experience the fullness of the blessings of God, then you have to live as a child of God and not like the rest of the world. And what is that life that he calls us to? For the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. That's the way of life in which God blesses us. Not in being the most popular person in school, not in getting other people to bend their wills to yours. Not showing off. Not being the last one to get every word and every argument. But to see yourself as a servant to others. My father-in-law lives place called Keystone Place. Been there for several years now. They have a very interesting way of answering the phones. Never called another place that I can think of, and this is what I got. I've called them many, many times. It's always the same. This is Keystone Place. How can I make your day? What if that was the first words out of your lips every time somebody came up to you? How can I make your day? That's really what God wants to do when we call upon him in prayer. He wants to make your day. But so often we are resistant to the ways in which he wants to accomplish that in our lives. He does always hear our prayers. He does always answer our prayers. So if there's a problem in getting through to him that you think you're having, you need to recognize that the problem is not with what you're telling him to do. The problem is you're not listening to what he's telling you to do. He is the master. And to a sinful nature, it does seem rather foolish that the way to peace and joy and happiness is to become like a child and a servant of all, to set aside the jealousy, the selfishness, the worry about me. So occupies us. And to let our focus become how we can make somebody else's day. We need to learn from the Master, who dwells in heavenly glory, in eternal joy and peace. The Master who also came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for us all. He is not just our master, Lord. He's our Father, and we're his children. God grant that in this life we live as children, reflecting who he is to the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.